Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number 2 live right here on this Tuesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across that Spiz Grizz network. He is Joe Ranieri. I am Ben Stevens. 2 more hours to go up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. And here is the plan for hour number 2. A little bit more in the NFL head coaching carousel. Only 6 vacancies now, even with the addition of the Cowboys because of what the Patriots did over the weekend in the signing of Mike Vrabel to be New England's new head coach. We'll hear from the new skipper of the Patriots in just a moment. Introduced yesterday, once again, a reintroduction, if you will, in Foxborough. And then from there, the updated playoff picture as we get ready for one of the best weekends of football each and every season, the divisional round of the NFL postseason, what things look like in the NFC, the odds outlook to contend for a conference crown, same story in the AFC as well. Now that wild card weekend is in the books, we are on to round number 2, Gervinary, in the NFL postseason.
Yeah, and I spent all day yesterday going over the win totals that were just released for Major League Baseball. So, yes, Ben, it's a cycle, and it just keeps welcome to our world. There's one sport closes, college football, another sport opens up, and here we go.
Yep, absolutely the case. So, Joe, as we know, even in the NFL, as 8 teams contend for a Super Bowl championship on the divisional round, we've got a ton of teams already focusing on the future of their franchises. And that includes the New England Patriots, who on Sunday morning, as we learned, had officially signed Mike Vrabel. Pretends to be shocked. Everybody knew that was going to be the case in a sham of a search for New England. It was always Vrabel. It was probably Vrabel back in early December. Here was Mike Vrabel reintroduced to everybody up in Foxborough yesterday.
Well, I think that the ability to have open dialogue with Robert and Jonathan was something that was critical. Elliot and his staff, obviously, what I believe and what everybody else believes is a young, dynamic quarterback. We have some youth on the roster. We have some veteran players that have kind of seen both sides of it and understand, and that will help me and will help our players, get back to that success and understand how hard it is.
A 3-time Super Bowl winning linebacker in New England who coached early in his coaching career under Bill Belichick before taking the Titans head coaching job back in 2018. 6 seasons for Mike Vrabel, Joe, in Nashville. A winning record, 54-45, even after 2 consecutive losing seasons in 2022 and 2023. It kind of seems like Robert Kraft is arresting him there. I understand he was getting his jacket for the Patriots Hall of Fame put on. But even after 2 losing seasons, Joe, in 2022 and 23, Vrabel still ends his 6 years in Tennessee, 9 games above 500, with multiple playoff wins to show for it as well with the Titans. And things went south quickly in Tennessee. 2021, they were the one seed in the AFC playoff picture, ousted early in that postseason run. 2022, the AFC South favorites with Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry off to a 7-3 start. Then they lost seven consecutive games to end out the season, allowing Jacksonville to win the division. 2023, a remotely competitive team, but of course not good enough at 6-11. But when he was fired by the Titans, Joe, even at the end of last year, it was rather stunning around the NFL. So he was a hot commodity, of course, for this coaching search. He ends up back in New England, a former Patriot who knows the Patriot way. And as you heard Vrabel discuss right there, there's a lot of building blocks in place in Foxborough that are attractive to a new head coach.
So I was at that game last October, I believe it was, or two Octobers ago, where Vrabel was on a bye week. The Patriots were playing the Buffalo Bills at Foxborough, and he showed up for the halftime show, Ben, and came out. Now, this is a NFL head coach of a different franchise, an organization, and I have never heard anything like what the fan base went absolutely bonkers when he was out on the field and he got inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame. This was a no-brainer hire for them, but it's the way they went about it that a lot of people are scratching their head. I don't think anybody ever thought this wasn't happening the minute he became a free agent. But I'm very shocked that Kraft went with, you know, Gerard Mayo as fast as he did without really giving Vrabel a nod. But as it works out, you end up getting the guy you probably should have had the entire time. And now we'll see what he does with it.
A scapegoat kind of in Gerard Mayo to be that buffer, if you will, between the end of nearly 2.5 decades of Bill Belichick to just turn things over to another former Belichick player and assistant and Super Bowl champion linebacker in Mike Vrabel. Exactly what Gerard Mayo was, by the way, and now Vrabel steps in. There's a lot of people around the NFL angry at New England for a sham of a search, bringing in guys like Pep Hamilton and Byron Leftwich to almost mock the Rooney Rule and trying to at least have the opportunity for minority head coaches to get a look. I think Mike Vrabel had signed the contract behind closed doors, Joe, back in December. I think they knew, the Patriots in the Kraft family knew, that this was the plan well before the regular season finale. And I think if you ever heard transparently from Gerard Mayo in a tell-all, he would tell you, yeah, man, I knew what my future was in Foxborough. It's why I went out there and told Joe Milton to go sling it so we could cost the New England franchise an opportunity of drafting first overall. Regardless, the Patriots have the future of the franchise at the quarterback spot, at least for now, in Drake May. They have over $130 million of cap space this year to bolster up a roster that needs many different spots to be filled, and they have the fourth overall pick as well. Again, there's a lot to like for this Patriots team trying to now undo two consecutive years of four-win seasons and get back to the standard of success they well know in New England. Plenty more to be decided in that coaching carousel. Six head coaching vacancies around the NFL. And oh, by the way, for Mike McCarthy, a lot of some steam right now, if you will, that the Chicago Bears could be interested in McCarthy and now don't need the Cowboys' permission to interview not only a former Cowboys head coach, but former Super Bowl winning head coach with the Green Bay Packers. A lot of people believing and speculating that McCarthy, in the way that he runs organizations, would actually be incredibly beneficial for the young Caleb Williams. That's the coaching carousel. Yep. Any other updates that we know, we'll bring you a little bit later on. But Joe, as we look at the postseason, we are on to round number two. We are on to the divisional round around the NFL postseason. And the final spot that needed to be booked in the NFL's final eight was last night. The Rams winning outright, of course, as a 2.5-point dog against Minnesota. The Rams will head to Philadelphia 3 p.m. Eastern Sunday afternoon. That a 5.5-point spread in favor of the Birds. The first game in the NFC, the one seed back in the mix on Saturday night. It's the Detroit Lions at home against the Commanders. The Lions booked as an 8.5-point favorite, largest spread that we will see in the divisional round. And Joe, really where we are right now with the final four teams on this side of the league, the NFC odds are basically what we expected. A two-team race in an NFC championship game we all anticipate. The Lions and the Eagles in the Motor City next Sunday.
Yeah, listen, I think we've got some interesting matchups in this one. I think we've got some interesting two teams led by defense, two teams led by offense. This is going to be very interesting coming up this weekend, Ben.
No doubt about it, Joe. So we'll go through all four divisional round matchups here in this second hour, game by game, to look at the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this second hour live right here on the early line, we go game by game. Our four divisional round matchups around the National Football League and in round number two around the NFL postseason. Again, this is one of the best weekends of football each and every season. Quality teams in quality games with huge and significant stakes trying to play in a conference championship, win said conference title, and of course appear in a Super Bowl. Joe, let's start with the game on Sunday that was finalized yesterday. It will be in Philadelphia. The Eagles now know who they will be hosting. That is the LA Rams. Projected hypothetical odds for this matchup did see LA as a 6.5-point dog in Philadelphia if they were able to outlast Minnesota last night. But the Rams looked rather dominant in doing so. So now the line is 5.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook with a total of 43 and a hook. And Joe, let's start with the total. We did not see a ton of points throughout the opening round of the NFL playoffs. Only one of six games pushed to the over. It was our highest scoring game, the first of the weekend in Houston, and it featured 44 combined points. And these two defenses, a big reason why. The Eagles held the Packers to only 10. The Rams held the Vikings to only 9. How important will defense be Sunday afternoon at the Link?
Well, I think it's also worth noting that the Eagles had the best defense in the NFL in the second half of the season, Ben. They, too, started off very slow under Vic Fangio, and you and I talked about it early on. And we said, listen, Vic Fangio, there's a learning curve when Vic Fangio takes over defenses. It is not just a plug-and-play kind of situation there. Takes guys a little getting used to, but as we can see, they drafted well. Free agency worked out well. Hassan Reddick really didn't matter all that much. And voila, the Eagles, by the time they made the turns at the second half of the year, they had the best defense in the NFL. And we saw this very young Rams defense get better and better as the season progressed. And it's funny, that seems to be a theme here, don't we? Because we can say the same thing about the Ravens defense. The teams, even Washington's defense, who was getting torched early on, every one of the teams that remain had a slow start defensively and figured it out and got better as the season progressed. I think this one, I'm going to be very interested to see where this line goes, Ben. Does this line go to 6.5? Does it touch 7 at any particular point? The total kind of still hovering right around here, but a quick look at the weather, Ben, for this game. What is it, a heat wave by you guys? 43 degrees is what it's supposed to be at kickoff there in Philly. Now, the Rams going outdoors. There's some things to consider there. I don't know that the total's going to move all that much, but I'm going to be very interested to see if this line comes anywhere close to 7 when it's all said and done.
The Rams on a shorter week, still a ton to deal with back home in Los Angeles. The Eagles very comfortable at home for a second consecutive week and with a full week of rest, having dispatched the Packers on Sunday afternoon. Yes, it is cold right now in the Northeast, but supposed to be rather pleasant this weekend, at least for mid-January standards. There is no doubt about that. Now, as for the line itself, again, the projected hypothetical odds, Philly a 6.5-point favorite. It's now 5 and a hook. Could it get back to near a touchdown? I wouldn't be surprised. The Eagles, Joe, both of these teams, you could say, got off to lackluster starts, one worse than the other. The Rams started 1-5, the Eagles 2-2. Since that even 500 2-2 start for Philadelphia, they have won 13 of 14, including, of course, the double-digit win over Green Bay on Sunday. Philly has covered 10 times in those 14 wins. They have gone under 9 times in those 14 games as well because they have just been so stout on the defensive side of the football. But as for the Rams, Joe, what a season it has been once again. A Rams team last year that started 3-6, won 6 of their last 8 to earn a playoff spot. A Rams team this year that started 1-4 due to a litany of injuries, really all across the board, won 9 of their next 11 to clinch a divisional title in the NFC West by the time we were done with week 17. And since week number 5, the Rams with Matthew Stafford as their starter have been an underdog only 5 times. They have won outright 4 times in that 5-game underdog span. The only non-cover and non-outright win, a Sunday night football game in SoFi where the Eagles looked dominant, winning 37-20 in a much higher scoring affair, Joe, than we anticipate for Sunday afternoon in the city of brotherly love.
Yeah, the story is going to be, obviously, we got to figure out what the weather is going to be. Stafford having to travel east on a, on a short week in the cold. That's not exactly been great for him over the years. But I will remind everyone, he did go to MetLife and beat the so that really, we probably shouldn't take that into consideration, Ben, because I'm fairly certain we could have done that here. But even more importantly, I love the fact that they came out. We'll have to see what's going on with Higbee. I understand he stayed the night in the hospital there after the game in Arizona. But for the most part, they are healthy heading into Philadelphia, which I think is huge for the Rams.
And it was a critical game, Joe, for L.A. way back in Week 14 against Buffalo at the time when the Rams outlasted the Bills in a very offensive affair, 44-42, L.A. winning outright as a slight home dog. It was the highest scoring game of the NFL season. It was surpassed just a couple of weeks later. But, Joe, I bring that up because they allowed Buffalo 42 points. Josh Allen could not be stopped. He had 3 passing touchdowns and 3 rushing scores. You were left thinking, does this young L.A. defense have what it takes, even if they are, to earn a playoff bid? Well, in the 3 games fully healthy with all their starters in there, the rest of the regular season, weeks 15 through 17, 9 points, 6 points, 9 points, and then, Joe, in a playoff game against the Vikings, only allowing 9. This Rams defense looks a very, very different tune in the last month or so. That's the first game in the NFC on Sunday afternoon. Now Saturday night in Detroit next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line, our divisional round preview by looking at those early lines on a show that is aptly named continues. And we go to Saturday night in the Motor City, the one seed in the NFC for the first time ever in franchise history. The Detroit Lions will welcome in the Washington Commanders. Joe, last year when the Lions won the NFC North, winning a divisional crown for the first time in 3 decades in the NFL, which meant that Detroit would host a playoff game for the first time in 30 years. Just that in itself was a celebration. When the Lions outlasted the Rams on wild card weekend, winning a playoff game for the first time in 32 years. In itself, that was a celebration and almost unheard of. SOL, same old Lions, no more in the Motor City. This year, though, things are very different. It's not just enough to win a division or even be the one seed, or even have a home playoff game, or even celebrate that inside Ford Field as an 8.5-point favorite. It's about winning this one, the next one, and making even more franchise history, playing in a Super Bowl for the first time ever in Lions organizational history. And as you see there, it is a hefty spread, at least for Detroit, to host the NFC Championship game a weekend following. 8.5-point number in favor of the Lions against the Commanders, a total of 55 and a hook, the highest total for divisional round weekend. Joe, it's north of a touchdown. It's 8.5 points live on the FanDuel Sportsbook as I see it. Is it too many points, though, in favor of the Lions against Jaden Daniels in Washington?
The question is, Ben, is if it's going to stay at 8.5, I think this line will continue to rise here a little bit. You know, that's a prime teaser opportunity with Detroit here. So if you haven't done it and you can still get it, might not be a bad idea to get Detroit under a field goal here. Listen, they're healthier. They're playing at home. They have the experience. They're taking on a rookie quarterback who, listen, congratulations. They did what they had to do to beat Tampa, but I can make the argument that Tampa beat Tampa in that game there. So, and I give Dan Quinn and this defense a lot of credit. They were awful to begin with, but they figured some things out and have gotten themselves a playoff win under their belt now. But again, now the next step and the next level, I just don't see Washington being in that in the same weight class here as Detroit. So, yeah, I think Detroit certainly can win this game by double digits. The only thing you'd have to worry about here would be any sort of backdoor cover, Ben, late in the game when it's probably already wrapped up by Detroit at home. But again, a 55.5 total.
Yeah.
We haven't seen anything even remotely close to that so far here. It'll be interesting to see if Washington's offense can go toe-to-toe against this Detroit defense that's getting healthier, and I have my doubts on that.
Yeah, I would agree, Joe, with that statement that you just said. 55.5 feels a little bit high, as it was for that regular season finale in the Motor City that featured a total of 56.5 the last time we saw the Lions host the Vikings. It was one of the highest totals we had seen in the NFL since 2019, and of course it stayed well under. A Detroit defense that is getting healthier, a Detroit defense that has had a full week off, and we know this Lions team has desperately needed it. Might we see David Montgomery return? I'm not sure it really matters. Jahmyr Gibbs in the three games without Sonic, because he is Knuckles, was darn, darn good. The Commanders, Joe, since week 4, when the odds started to catch up that maybe Washington was not this pesky underdog, but a true playoff contender, has been an underdog 5 times. They have won outright twice. They have not covered the number 2 times as well. Against the Ravens, twice against the Eagles, and of course on Sunday night in Tampa. The Lions have been a touchdown favorite or greater 6 times this year, 5-1 straight up, a weird week 2 loss to Tampa, and 4-2 against the spread. Now, it's a lot to lay in a playoff game, but I am certainly trusting Detroit to at least control how Saturday night's game plays out in the Motor City.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard not to because, again, experience at home in an environment in which they have been very successful over the last couple of seasons. They're going to have their work cut out for them, Washington.
11-5 against the spread. That's Detroit as a favorite this year. 12-5 ATS. Best cover team in the NFL. Now to the AFC. Yeah. Yep.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line, a show that lives up to its billing here in this second hour, taking the Early Line approach to everything that you will see in divisional round weekend in the National Football League postseason. One of the best weekends of football each and every year around the NFL. We just previewed our two matchups in the divisional round in the NFC. The Lions, the largest favorite of the weekend, 8.5-point spread against the Commanders. Philadelphia in the first game of two on Sunday, a 5.5-point favorite against the Rams. Joe, entering last night at the conclusion of our first game on Sunday, we knew what was at stake in the AFC. We knew what was still out there in that conference in the final four teams that will play for a conference crown on this side of the league. The Chiefs are the one seed. An AFC title runs through Arrowhead once again. In the first game of divisional round weekend, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday afternoon. And it ends in the divisional round with the marquee and monumental matchup that everybody was hoping for two fan bases that at this current moment are not that fond of one another because of the conversations that have continued throughout this season. Who's the real NFL MVP? Is it Lamar Jackson looking for his second in a row in three in his 6 years as a starter around the National Football League? Or is it Josh Allen for the first time? Joe, before we dive into the individual divisional round matchups, let's start with the odds. It is a very close game, as we expect, Sunday evening in Western New York. And thus, you see only 30 cents of separation between those two teams, Baltimore and Buffalo, to win the AFC Championship. Plus 210 for the flock, plus 240 for the Bills. The Texans have a long price. They're over a touchdown underdog in Arrowhead against Kansas City. 16-1, and Joe, the Chiefs remain the favorites as they enter the playoff mix on Saturday afternoon at plus 135. In Kansas City, holds home field advantage, of course, throughout, hoping to get back to a Super Bowl, hoping to make history in hunt for that third consecutive Lombardi trophy. How do you make sense of those AFC championship odds entering divisional weekend?
Well, I mean, it makes sense, right? Because the Chiefs with that number one seed, really, whether it had been the Chargers or here with the Texans, their path to an AFC championship and maybe another Super Bowl was going to be the easier of the two, because we both basically knew the rematch between the Ravens and the Bills was coming. So having said that, Buffalo Bills at a plus 240 price right now to win the championship. The question to me is, do we really think by the time the Ravens and the Bills are done playing, no matter who wins, is there going to be enough in the tank to be able to go to Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs? Because I think the Ravens and Bills is going to be an absolute war. Yeah, I almost feel like now is the time to bet the Chiefs, because if they dismantle the Texans and we get the kind of physical game where you think we're going to get with the Ravens and Bills, man, who knows what it's going. I wouldn't be shocked if Kansas City starts to come close to even money or some point, Ben, depending on what happens in that game. So now would be the time to look at Kansas City if you hadn't bet them already. Because to me, everything else between the Ravens and the Bills is a coin flip.
Yeah, and again, I kind of feel the way I feel about these AFC championship odds now that I did even before the postseason started. You are choosing between Baltimore and Buffalo for who you believe presents the best test to Kansas City in Arrowhead, trying to find that value. I'm still not sure there is value, because the marquee matchup on Sunday in Orchard Park is a toss-up. It is a pick'em. So again, you are going to have a team, sure, as probably less than a field goal underdog in Kansas City, but against a Chiefs team that will have an additional day of rest and still have home field advantage. For two organizations and two quarterbacks trying to change a narrative, and for a Chiefs team that has only furthered its narrative and its playoff pedigree. This is year number seven with Patrick Mahomes as the Chiefs' starting quarterback. In the previous six, They have played in an AFC Championship game all 6 years. Before last year, in the prior five seasons, they had hosted said AFC Championship game. They have played in four Super Bowls. They have won three Lombardi trophies, including the last two consecutively. Joe, eight previous back-to-back Super Bowl champions in the history of the NFL. Only three have even reached a conference championship game. None of the prior eight have even played in a Super Bowl for a third consecutive year, let alone win a Lombardi trophy for a third consecutive season. Will history continue its trend, keeping the Chiefs even from an AFC championship game? I'm not so sure. I think KC is there. Will it keep Kansas City from playing in New Orleans for a third consecutive Lombardi trophy? I'm still not so sure. Might it keep the Chiefs from winning a third consecutive Super Bowl? Perhaps. But at this moment, I am really not sure there is great value to bet in the AFC as of right now, even understanding that whether it's Baltimore or Buffalo, whoever plays Kansas City, unless the Texans can pull off a monumental upset in Arrowhead, is going to be less than a field goal underdog. But still, I'm not thinking you're getting good rollover value right now based on what a projected money line price would be for said AFC Championship game in KC.
Yeah, no, I mean, you missed the window, Ben. If you were going to bet anybody outside of Kansas City, you needed to do it before the games this past weekend here, where you got much better value at that point, because it's a pick'em between what the Bills and the Ravens here. For the most part, it's going to fluctuate between -1 and a pick'em, right? Well, it's to me, it's going to be the same. No matter who wins that game, if they're going to Arrowhead, we're probably looking at the same thing, Ben. It's going to be, there's not going to be a lot of value to be rolling anything over one way or the other there. So this is probably as good as you're going to get. Just, you got to figure out, who do you like more to go to Arrowhead? Is it the Bills at home to hold serve, or do the Ravens go 2-0 against Buffalo this year?
Yeah, which is going to be an incredibly interesting conversation that, Joe, let's just dive right in, because it is worth the final 2 minutes of this segment and all 8 minutes of our next segment. It is the marquee matchup, our fourth and final of the divisional round in Western New York, the Buffalo Bills in the Baltimore Ravens, the 2 seed in the Bills, the 3 seed in the Ravens, a game that we dreamed of and now we get on Sunday evening. A 1.5-point spread in favor of the flock. There you see 18 cents of difference in the money line. There's only 14 currently on the FanDuel Sportsbook. -116, that money line number on the Ravens. -102 on the other side for Buffalo. In a total north of 50 at 51 and a hook. Again, plenty of time on the other side of the break to dive even deeper. But Joe, let's start with this. Where do you begin your breakdown for this wonderful divisional round matchup between the Ravens and the Bills?
Well, I would caution folks to take whatever it is that you think you learned from week 4 when Baltimore took it to Buffalo in Baltimore. Throw it out the window, because these two teams are totally different right now than they were way back there in week 4. So I would go, whatever you think you learned from both of those teams then, I would not let it influence my decision on who's going to win this game. Because both teams, especially defensively, are much different looking than they were in week 4.
Much different looking. Baltimore better at limiting points. Buffalo understands how critical it is going to be to try to probably not stop, but slow down the rushing attack of the Ravens. Plenty more next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The finale of divisional round weekend for what will be the final spot in the AFC Championship game between Baltimore and Buffalo in Orchard Park. The Ravens, an ever-so-slight favorite, 1.5 in the spread, minus 116 on the money line, 14 cents of distinction against the Buffalo Bills with a total of 51 and a hook. Joe, you said it right before the break. You would caution everybody to look back at week number 4, final game of the opening month of this season for both teams, and think that will tell a tale for Sunday evening. Baltimore won big in the Charm City, 35-10, easily covering as a 2.5-point favorite. In that game, the Ravens did what they did on Saturday night to the Steelers, rushing for nearly 300 yards, 271 to be exact, 8 yards per pop against this Buffalo defense. Derrick Henry had 199 yards and a touchdown. Lamar Jackson only had 156 passing yards, but 2 scores, 54 yards on the ground and a touchdown. Meanwhile, for the Bills, they only had 81 rushing yards as a team. But that was way back at the end of September. We are nearing the end of January and the divisional round. So what will be different, Joe, this time around on Sunday evening in Orchard Park?
Well, one of the biggest things is a venue change. We're not in Baltimore anymore, and we don't necessarily know what the weather is going to be like or even pretend to be like come January 19th. You know, this time of year, it could be, you know, 9 feet of snow, Ben, by the time we get to kickoff there. There could be a ton of wind. So I would caution folks here that what we got in week 4 in Baltimore, we also got against a Bills defense that was really banged up early on in the year. Of course, their captain, Matt Milano, there was not available to them. He was still working his way back there. We weren't sure Von Miller was going to be in good enough shape to be able to start making a difference for this Buffalo team. And well, they have figured some things out defensively, to say the least there. And we just saw that on display against Denver. I do think this is going to have a different feel. And listen, if Baltimore can go into Orchard Park and run for, you know, what, over close to 300 yards, Ben, like they did the first go around. I mean, if Derrick Henry runs for 200 yards, Baltimore's winning the game. But something tells me that I don't think that is going to happen in this one. And I also don't think Josh Allen, who was held to 180 yards, 16 of 29 passing and just 81 yards on 23 carries, the Bills rushed. I think all of that thrown out the window. I do think this is going to be a much more balanced game for both these teams. I ultimately think it's going to come down to who has the ball last. And we have seen both of these teams do some good things against teams not named Kansas City in this spot. So ultimately, I think, Ben, who's got that ball last with an opportunity to get in field goal range? And which kicker do we trust more?
Both have had their struggles. Tyler Bass last year in the postseason. Mm-hmm. Justin Tucker, it wasn't a story until it was. Certainly this year throughout the entirety of the regular season. If the game lives up to what the odds anticipate, we are in for an all-timer. An instant classic. We're talking a couple of cents of difference on the money line. A toss-up in what we expect to be a high-scoring game. Joe, to your question about weather in Western New York on Sunday, not overly terrible by their standards in mid to late January, but cold. A low of 9 degrees with winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. It's probably going to feel a little bit colder than that of 9 as well. Some snow earlier in the week, maybe a dusting throughout the weekend, but nothing overwhelming by any means there in Buffalo. As we look at this game, there are so many storylines to be had for both franchises, for both quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson trying to turn around the narrative of a lack of playoff success. Now 3-4, but he has never played in a Super Bowl. Neither has Josh Allen. The Bills have won the AFC East now for a fifth consecutive season. They have won their first playoff game during Wild Card Weekend all 5 years. But in the last three seasons, they've been ousted in the divisional round. Three of the previous 4 years, they've been ousted by the Chiefs. Will they have an opportunity to slay their playoff dragon a week following in a potential AFC Championship matchup? And then there is the individual quarterback comparison, not just for Sunday, but for this season, Joe. And who is going to win NFL MVP? Josh Allen closed as a minus money favorite at the end of the regular season. And then late last week, Lamar Jackson was named first team AP All-Pro quarterback. Very rarely have we seen a guy finish second team All-Pro and win the MVP hardware. There is all of that, Joe, and two dueling fan bases that have tried to bolster up a campaign for their respective signal caller now facing off for a spot in a conference championship game on Sunday. Again, game as good as you could hope for, storylines and narrative as good as you could hope for as well.
And let's not ignore the fact that from a coaching perspective here, this game could be detrimental to the future of the Buffalo head coach as opposed to the Baltimore Ravens head coach. If Baltimore don't win this game, I don't think we're going to be talking about removing Harbaugh, but I can promise you if they fall short here, Buffalo, the pitchforks will be out, Ben, in big, big time fashion.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, right? There will be some conversation about the ceiling elevated in Western New York by Sean McDermott, perhaps maybe with Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh. The loser is going to get a little bit of a storm, per se, come Monday. Mm-hmm. Here are the props for the quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson, clean and efficient against Pittsburgh, had, I think, 81 yards on the ground, something ridiculous on Saturday night. Josh Allen did a little bit of everything. More than 270 yards, two passing touchdowns for the Bills, and nearly 50 on the ground. James Cook has stepped up his game as well, although the king awaits on the other side. That is Derrick Henry. The first game of the divisional round, that would be in Arrowhead on Saturday afternoon. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The first game of four for the divisional round of the 2024 National Football League postseason. It's the Chiefs and the Texans on Saturday afternoon in Arrowhead, a 4:30 p.m. Eastern time kick, something Houston is all too familiar with. Inside Arrowhead Stadium, a playoff atmosphere that Kansas City well understands. After a week off, earning the one seed and a bye, the Chiefs are greater than a touchdown favorite at home against the Houston Texans, with the lowest total throughout the entirety of this second round of the postseason, only at 41.5. Joe, the Texans, as they did a season ago, went outright as a 2.5-point home underdog throughout Wild Card Weekend to earn this spot in the AFC divisional round. I think the natural question is, can the Texans keep this game within margin? And if so, is there a realistic path that Houston might be able to play spoiler and upset the two-time reigning Super Bowl champs?
Yeah, no. Houston, to me, even in a, 20-point win against the Chargers, at some point, Stroud in the offense, if you believe they're going to have any shot at this, you have to believe that offensively they can finally figure it out and be able to run the ball, be able to protect Stroud, and be able to take some shots down the field. And yes, they have been decimated, that receiving core, by injuries, but now they've become so reliant on Nico Collins, it's ridiculous. Yeah. And any quality defense, they're going to have their hands full, and there is no better one than coming into this game at Arrowhead with Kansas City. And listen, you're not turning Patrick Mahomes over four times. He is not Justin Herbert here. This is a team that this isn't even one of the best Chiefs teams that we've seen, and yet they're still 15-2 either way here, Ben. And that tells you everything you need to know Plus, they're two home wins away from a shot at NFL history and a possible third championship in a row. Extra time to prepare for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And oh yeah, they finally look like, you know, they've been able to figure out how to use Xavier Worthy, how to use Isaiah Pacheco, DeAndre Hopkins, the list goes on. Yeah, this is what the Chiefs is all about. This would be like betting against Tom Brady in this spot here for over a decade. How well did that work out for people waiting for Brady to fail? It ain't happening with Mahomes against this Houston team either. Great defense, but the defense is not going to be enough to get you to go to Arrowhead and beat Patrick Mahomes. I think this is probably the blowout of the weekend.
Listen, the Texans have been great defensively, but as Joe mentioned, so too has Kansas City. I think one of the more underrated storylines entering the regular season finale weekend, because we knew the Chiefs were playing all of their reserves in Denver, Jalen Watson, a guy injured for most of this year for the Chiefs, back in the secondary. When Watson is healthy, alongside Trent McDuffie, who was an all-pro cornerback once again this year, one of the more lethal duos at the cornerback spots in the NFL. So the Chiefs getting healthier there. We know the Chiefs are healthier offensively. Isaiah Pacheco back. Hollywood Brown is back. Xavier Worthy is more involved. And they had a week to prepare and figure all of this out. And we know how good Andy Reid is off a bye, regular season or postseason. Joe, the Chiefs have the benefit of the doubt. They have the playoff pedigree. We mentioned the history that Kansas City is seeking. With two wins, Kansas City would make history even if they come up short in a Super Bowl, becoming the only two-time reigning Super Bowl champ to even play in a third Super Bowl game. Now, as for the spread, that's where this game could be interesting. Do we believe the Texans can win outright? I'm not sure you're going to find many people that believe Houston actually has that opportunity. Do we believe Houston can keep this game within margin? Perhaps. With C.J. Stroud as the starter since the beginning of his rookie season, the Texans, including a wild card outright underdog win against the Chargers, are 11-7 against the spread as an underdog, 8 outright wins. The Chiefs, we know the margins of which they have skirted by this year. They are 0-5. Against the spread, Joe Ranieri, as more than a touchdown favorite this year. More than a touchdown favorite. They have not covered a number. And for a Chiefs team that has only played 7 games out of 17 in total to the over this season, 3 of their 7 did happen in games where KC was laying more than 7 points. What a divisional round it is going to be, and plenty more previews throughout this week on Sports Grid. Hour 3, though, next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.